And that was the Collingsworth family. The scripture says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the Israelites fled before them. And many fell slain on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines pressed hard against Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and when the archers overtook him, they wounded him critically. Saul said to his armor bearer, 'Draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and run me through and abuse me.' But his armor bearer was terrified and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men died together that same day. When the Israelites along the valley and those across the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons had died, they abandoned the towns and fled." I got it, thanks. Yeah, we'll go. "The next day, when the Philistines came up to strip the dead, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among their people. They put his armor in the temple of the Ashtaroths and fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. When the people of Jabesh-Gilead heard of what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their valiant men journeyed throughout the night to Bethshan. They took hold of the bodies of Saul and his sons from the wall of Bethshan and went to Jabesh, where they buried him and burned him, and they took his bones and buried them under a tamarisk tree in Jabesh, and they fasted for 7 days." Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, as we come before you this morning, we pray, Lord, that you through your word would just give us the hope that we have in you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of eternal life, that you are the God of the living, that you are with us now. So, Father, we thank you for instilling in us hope through your Son, Jesus. And we pray that through your word this morning, you would encourage us as we look into your word together, the Lord, that when we leave here today, we would leave here refreshed for having been with you and encountered you through your word again this morning. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 44 years ago tomorrow, the final curtain came down on a legendary performer, favorite performer of Sandy Rice. She's smiling. A voice that was legendary that everyone knew, and a voice that went silent 44 years ago tomorrow, when the final curtain was ushered and he was taken into eternity. And of course, that was the death of the king, Elvis Presley. Our text today addresses the death of another king, King Saul. And it was a significant event in the life of David, as we've been following David's life. And we had seen that through the last 10 years or so of his life that we've been looking at in these last weeks, he has been running from Saul. As Saul has been trying to kill him and take his life because Saul knew that David was the one that God said would take over the throne. But now it had come to Saul's death and a tragic recording for us here in 1 Samuel as it records for us how Saul met his death and the final curtain came down, ending his reign and his time on earth. And you say, but Dan, why are we addressing this topic? Well, the Bible addresses it, and as we continue our series in the life of David, we have to deal with this significant part of David's life because of what Saul meant in the relationship that David and Saul had. And as we look at this chapter together, we're going to discover three important truths about death that we can learn from this chapter, and also some hope that we have through it. as we've been celebrating a lot about heaven this morning and singing about that hope that is ours. First thing we learn from this chapter is that death is a reality. It's a reality that all of us are going to face. The day finally came for Saul. Whenever the battle was raging and the forces were gathered together on Mount Gibeah, and the Philistines once again, who were the constant enemies of Israel during this time of history, attacked again. This time they had Saul surrounded. And we see that as the battle came, Saul and his men and his sons were killed. Jonathan, Abinadab, and his all three sons were killed in front of him. And then Saul was surrounded as the army was pressing closer. And he turned to his aide, who was assisting him, his armor bearer, and said, as he was shot with the Philistine arrow and he was wounded, and he was laying there on the battlefield wounded, afraid that he would be captured and abused and tortured as an enemy, prisoner of war. And he asked his armor bearer to take his sword and to run him through. And he didn't want to do that. But he said, I'm surrounded and there's no way I can escape. And he said, I know death is coming for me. What we learn from this story is that death is a reality and it can't be escaped. I got some news that may come to a surprise to you, maybe not. But you know, unless the Lord Jesus comes in the rapture, which I pray he does, if that doesn't happen, none of us are going to leave this earth alive. Realize that. That every one of us someday is going to face that time when death is going to come to us. We don't like to think of that. It's not something we like to talk about, but it is a reality. And Saul knew that it was coming and pressing in on him. And it can't be escaped for any of us, unfortunately, because it is a reality we all must deal with. I pray that the Lord would rapture us and take us into heaven and we not have to experience that. Wouldn't that be awesome? But unless that happens, you and I someday are going to face the reality of death. It can't be escaped. Peter Marshall, who was the former chaplain of the Senate years ago, told a story about a legend of a merchant in Baghdad who one day sent his servant to the market. He said, before long, the servant came back and he was all white and he was trembling and he was in great agitation with his master. And he said to his master, down in the marketplace, I was jostled by a woman in the crowd. And when I turned around and saw it, it was death who jostled me. And she looked at me and she made a threatening gesture. And so he said, Master, please lend me your horse, your fastest horse, because I must hasten away to avoid her. And I'm going to ride to Samara and there I'm going to hide so that death won't find me. So the merchant lent him his fastest horse and his servant galloped away in great haste to get out of town and to get over to Samara. Well, later on that day, the merchant went down to the marketplace and he saw Death standing in the crowd. And he went over to her and he asked, why did you frighten my servant like you did this morning? Why did you make a threatening gesture to him? And she said, that was not a threatening gesture, Death said. It was only a start of surprise because she said, I was astonished to see him in Baghdad, for I have an appointment with him tonight in Samara. You know, each one of us has an appointment with Samara someday. But the good news is, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, it's nothing we have to fear, right? Because we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's that hope we have. But it is a reality. The Scripture says in Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that comes the judgment. And that's what was in for Saul. His day of appointment had come. There was no escape for him. And not for us either. Death is reality. So that means we need to take time to prepare. That in this life is our time to prepare for the next. And we prepare for eternity now by first knowing in that relationship with Jesus Christ and putting our faith and trust in him alone. In a way that we are prepared for that day, whenever it would be, that the Lord makes that call and said, it's time to come. The Scripture says in Psalm 139 that all the days for us were written in his book before any of them came to be. And he knows what that day is. And preparing now, Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid, because in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to remember, prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with me, where you also may be where I am." Because on that day when death comes for us, those who are prepared to meet Christ will be taken into his presence. And we will all spend eternity somewhere. It's either with him in heaven or separated from him in a place the Bible calls hell. But now is our time to prepare for that day. It's sad because as we look at King Saul's life, he was a man that started out well. If you remember when we looked at when he was anointed king, the Bible says he was head and shoulders over everybody else. He had a lot of giftings. And he started out well, but then he eventually turned his back on God. And he ran away from him and he disobeyed. And through that compromise, he ran away and God rejected him. But there's no account here as we read over this final chapter of his life, as the final curtain was coming down on him. There's no reference here of ever him praying or ever him repenting or ever him coming back to God. And he died in horror and he died a tragic death. And he could have prepared, but he did not. Death is a reality. We need to take that time to prepare now, but also make each day count. We need to live each day for eternity and making each day that God gives us, using it for him and for his glory, in serving those around us and in living in a way that would honor him, using the most of every opportunity that comes our way and making the day count for eternity. There is a country song. It was recorded years ago by Tim McGraw called "Live Like You Were Dying." And that song talks about, Kim's laughing, because it talks about living like you were dying and making the most of every day. And one day we were down with Gene and Karen at their place at the beach in Ocean City. And that song came on, I think the TV or something. And Kim started singing that song and she was singing out like she does and sings a lot of songs and started singing that song. And, you know, Gene Garber looked at Kim and said, "You know, nobody sings Tim McGraw like Tim McGraw." And Kim got quiet. She didn't sing it after that. But anyway, the gist of that song is live like you're dying. Make the most of every day, because we don't know when that day's coming. But it is a reality we all must deal with. We all must be prepared for. Saul wasn't. And he died tragically. Death is a reality. But second thing is death is a tragedy. It was what a tragic way for Saul to meet his death. Surrounded by the enemy, an arrow comes and wounds him. He lays there on the ground, surrounded by the enemy, pressing in. And then he says, "His armor bearer, take the sword and run me through." And he did not want to take his sword and kill the king. So the Bible says that Saul took his sword and he fell on it himself and brought the mortal wound. But a tragic way for his death. And then after he was buried, after he died, the Philistines came and they saw his body there and they took it and they cut off his head and they hung his body on a, nailed it to a wall. It was a tragic way for him to die. And the sad thing was, death is a tragedy because it wasn't meant to be. As we read Saul's life, he didn't have to die this way. His daily life of compromise and his daily choices led him farther and farther away from the Lord, that he got to this point of a tragic death that he wouldn't have had to experience. He started out good, but he wasted his life, and his tragic death came about because of his tragic choices. How many times have we seen or heard of stories of people that experienced tragic deaths that wouldn't have had to, but because of choices they've made would end up drug addiction or alcohol, and choices they made that ended up them a tragic death that they wouldn't have had to experience. And death was not God's plan. It wasn't meant to be. God never intended for you or I to experience death. He intended for us to live forever. He created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, eternal beings. They were free to eat of the tree of life. They were free to live, never intended for them to experience death. But sin came in and Adam's choice of disobedience, and he chose to disobey God and he fell into sin. And with that sin came death. A tragedy that we all must deal with that was never God's intent. The scripture tells us in John chapter 11, whenever the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. And it was in the context of the friend of Lazarus' grave, when Lazarus was buried, a dear friend of Jesus. And Jesus had come after he had died and had bring comfort to Mary and Martha. And it says that he stood by the grave and he wept. There's been many different interpretations of Bible teachers of what they think that means. And some think it means that Jesus wept because he was sad. He missed Lazarus and he wept for Mary and Martha in their sadness. And that's probably partly true. But I've heard some Bible teachers say that what Jesus meant by him weeping was that he was weeping because of what sin brought death. And it didn't have to be. Lazarus had died. And it wouldn't have been, it's a consequence of sin, and it didn't have to be. But through the resurrection, he was bringing eternal life. He was bringing that hope. That's our hope we have in him. It's a tragedy that God never intended for us to experience. But it's a tragedy as well because it makes things look hopeless. It says here that whenever Saul and his three sons were dead on the ground and they died together, verse 7 says, when the Israelites along the valley and those across the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons had died, they abandoned their towns and they fled, and the Philistines came and occupied them. When Saul and his three sons, and there was the heirs, supposed heirs to the kingdom, Jonathan, Abinadab, and his other son, laying there dead with Saul, all seemed to be hopeless for Israel. It seemed like all hope was done, it was dashed, it was gone. And death does that with us. It makes us seem that things are hopeless. And without the Lord, things do look hopeless. But the scripture says we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, right? And we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? And we have that hope. It appears hopeless, but with our King, with Jesus, we have that hope. Death doesn't have the final say. And death is a tragedy as well because it appears like the enemy has won. Here it looked like the enemy won whenever Saul died. It looked like that was going to be the end of Israel. And it looks like the Philistines had taken over and run over the land, and that was going to be it. And it looked like the enemy had the hand. And when Jesus was put on the cross and when Jesus died, and he was placed in the grave, and this grave was sealed for those 3 days, Satan thought he had won. The enemy thought that he had triumphed over, he had used his greatest weapon, death, to take the Son of God down, and he thought that he had won and destroyed the Son of God forever. And Friday looked pretty bleak. And it looked like it was defeated. But early Sunday morning, the body of Christ came alive, the stone was rolled away, and death was defeated forever, and the sting of death was gone. And Jesus rose triumphantly, and he holds the keys to death and the grave, and he is the victorious one, and he has taken its power away. The enemy has not won. And that's the hope you and I have when we face death, either ours or the death of those we love. And when it comes to us, that we know that it has not won. Christ has won the victory for us, and the resurrection is true, right? We will be forever with him. The grave does not have the final say. Death is a reality, and death is a tragedy. Saul faced a tragic death. But the good news is that death brings about victory. Because as this story ended, when the people of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men journeyed together through the night, and they took his body down from the wall where it had been nailed. And they buried it, and they gave it a proper burial. And then we're going to see, after the time of mourning, David is then going to become eventually king. But death brings about victory. And that's because of what Jesus did, because God's justice was satisfied. When Saul, who had been wrongly treating David for all these years, and all the injustice that was done to David by Saul, and we had seen how David forgave, and how David did not retaliate, and how David did not fight back, and we've seen in those times where he let it go, and all the injustice that was done, he did not take revenge. He let that in the hands of God. And God finally brought the justice, and his justice was satisfied. Saul's body was nailed to a wall, and he was died a humiliating death. And God's justice was satisfied through that, but God's justice was also satisfied through Jesus. That Jesus' body was nailed to a cross. And he took our death, he took our suffering, it was placed upon him, so that we could be forgiven and we could be set free and that we could have life. And the justice of God, that sin be taken punished, was satisfied through Jesus' death, our king. And when the king died, God's justice was satisfied, and he said, it is finished. And we can rejoice in that. And that death brought about victory. Death also brings victory because the kingdom, what God's kingdom, was opened. And when Saul laid on the ground dead, and his three sons with him, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malti-Shua, that was his heirs to the kingdom. There was no one to take his place, except for one son. But Saul's death made it possible for David, who was an outsider, not a member of the royal family, but an outsider, to become king, to come into the family and to come into reign. Jesus' death on the cross made it possible for all people to enter and to become a part of God's family. The Gentiles, those of us who were on the outside, who were not of the Jewish faith, who were not a part of God's people, through his death, the kingdom was opened to us. And we became heirs of eternal life. Aren't you thankful for that? And that's the victory that comes through it. That the kingdom was open. The way was made possible for David to become king. The way was possible for us to become children of the king. And God's plan was accomplished. And it through the death of Saul, God's plan that was initiated whenever David was anointed king, all those years earlier, that eventually he would become king, God's plan was finally fulfilled in the way it was possible to bring it about, that David would be able to reign. When Jesus died on the cross, God's plan to bring salvation to the world was accomplished. And when Jesus said, it is finished, through his death, it was done. And our forgiveness was made complete. So death is a reality we must face. We don't like to face it, but talk about it, but it is. And we see it here. We can't escape it. And our time to prepare is now. And if death would come to you or I, do you know that if this would be your last day on earth, you would be in heaven, as you're sure of it, as you're believing it? Because Jesus said, the scripture says, these things were written that we may know that we have eternal life. Now's the time to prepare. And if you do know Christ, make each day count. Live each day in light of our eternity, because it is a reality and it's a tragedy that God never meant to be. But the good news is that he brings victory through his son, Jesus Christ, and through his death, we have life. Let's pray. Father, we look to you this morning and thank you for the hope that we have through your son. That you are the resurrection, you are the life. You have taken away the sting of death, and you have offered us eternal life through your son. We don't have to fear it, because we know that we'll be with you someday. The heaven that we sang about is a reality for us who know you. And Lord, we look forward to that day. We don't know when that's going to be, but we know unless you return through the rapture, it's going to come to all of us someday. So, Lord, may we be ready. May we be prepared, having our faith and trust in you only, not in not in what we do, but in you. And relying, Lord, on your Son and what he's done.